Welcome to the Christful Podcast, episode 6. My name is Matt.
And I'm Gloria Glow.
And today we're going to talk about
my encounter with Jesus,
mental health struggles as a Christian,
waiting for marriage,
and how to find your dream godly partner. And without further ado, let's get right into it.
I'm Gloria. I've been a Christian my entire life, and now I'm mostly based in Toronto while doing modeling, acting, and making music.
Nice. That's cool. So we met today. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Through our friend Darren. He's one of my good friends in the nightlife industry when I was working there. And I think we're both retired, me and Darren.
Yeah.
I wish I knew that he was here. Otherwise, I would have invited him.
Yeah. No, I just found out today.
Yeah.
We'll do it again.
Yeah, I'll do it again. How did you guys meet?
We met at Mr. C. Actually, we met at the club, and I just always knew him as a guy that was very, very good at bringing people together, very good at promoting, and he was always nice to be around. Like, I know you can meet a lot of different people in the scene, and he was just, like, one of those good guys to be around. Mm-hmm. Like, I always noticed that about him,
mm-hmm.
And he stood out to me because of that, and eventually he invited me to the church. And we would go together, and then we started having more conversations about faith, and we realized that we were on the same page about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And now we still go to church. That's together. Cool.
You guys will probably meet Darren in the future. I'm going to invite him here. He's one of my good friends,
yeah.
And he's the one that invited me to the church that you guys go to, which
right.
is C3 Toronto, which is great. I love it there.
So I'll see you there then.
Yeah, honestly, because before that, I used to go to the Catholic church.
Okay.
With all the, you know, the pretty statues and everything, but the energy was different at C3.
It's
which
different.
I really liked. I just felt the presence of God much more.
The churches that are youth based are so important for the youth.
Yeah. I like that people are closer to our age as well.
Yes.
Right.
No, you meet people there and you want to connect. You're finding other people in your age group. And you're all going through life together. You're having similar struggles.
Mm-hmm.
You're still having problems with your parents or with girlfriends. It's not like you're all talking about maybe the kids and the house problems and whatever.
Yeah.
It's a different scene, and it's really important.
Yeah, that's what I noticed with, like, Catholic churches. Everyone's, like, old. Everyone was old, and no one wants to talk to each other. It's not very social.
I haven't gone to Catholic churches like my whole life. I started in a Reformed church until I was about 13, and then we switched to an Alliance church, and just immediately, like, when the music is louder and there's, like, drums, and you're starting with worship where people feel like they're actually alive and engaged and want to be there, it changed everything. And then especially going to C3 after,
yeah,
being with people that also want to be there and are young, and it's not the normal or cool thing to be going to church when you're 20-something and be talking about Christ and how Christ has changed you. It's a different experience when you're doing that with people beside you.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Did you grow up in a certain denomination or no?
So we call it evangelical.
Evangelical.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. I don't want to say Christian because Catholics will also say they're Christian. But like when you're evangelical, like Protestant Christian, you're growing up with the Bible, going to, like, I went to private Christian school. So
uh-huh.
Very condensed. Everybody believed what my parents believed. The Trinity, getting dedicated as a baby and having parents that are going to raise you in the faith. Very traditional mm-hmm. family values, you know, that Christ died and that he's going to come back again. So I grew up with that and continued following.
So yeah, like, how did you come about your faith? I know you were you baptized when you were younger?
I was dedicated as a baby. Yeah, that's one of the differences between Christianity and Catholicism. When the parents have a kid, they'll dedicate the child and say, we dedicate, like, we're saying to the whole church, I will do my best to raise this kid in the faith and be a Christ-like parent.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in Catholic churches, they'll baptize a kid. But a baptism for us means, like, a personal choice. So when
yeah.
the kid is raised and, like, as an adult, I'm saying, okay, now it's my choice. I want to get baptized. So the dedication
yeah.
is a parent saying, I'll try and raise this kid. And now the baptism is, okay, I want to be born again. I want to follow Christ. And I'm going to say that publicly yeah. in front of a church.
It should be a symbol of you surrendering your life to Jesus
yeah.
and giving your life for him, right? And that's why I'm getting baptized next week. Super excited. We're gonna probably gonna drive around and find the best waterfall.
That's awesome.
And have three cameras pointed at me.
I actually got baptized the same day as Darren. We got baptized together. Oh yeah, this was the crazy story of how I got baptized. I was very defiant, basically, like, growing up. Like, I wasn't, like, this big rebel kid, but my parents would be like, oh, you have to go to church. Okay, why? I want to know why. And then they would explain it to me. And then, oh, you have to get baptized. Why? It's just a metaphor. Mm-hmm. A wedding ring is a metaphor. You don't have to do it, right? And then I was in Hollywood, and I was, like, in L.A. for acting school. Anyway, so I'm just, like, by myself. Everyone would always warn me, like, oh, careful about L.A. Don't sell your soul. And I'm like, calm down. I'm just doing improv and whatnot. I'm going to be okay, yeah, you know. Yeah. But I definitely see their worries. But I was, yeah, so I'm in Hollywood. I have this crazy dream, and I get really vivid dreams, so they feel like complete reality. And I'm at my house in my dream. I'm with my family. Everything is normal. I'm looking out the window, and I just start to see this sunset, and it's gorgeous. And eventually it gets too pretty that it's like, I think something's going on outside, right? And long story short, it was Jesus coming back, and we hear this like huge bang, and there's like this wind in the sky, and my whole family is reacting exactly how I think they would. And my one sister's like, okay, yeah, I guess it's time to go. That's fine. We're going to see dad, because my dad passed a couple years ago. And then I see one of my sisters, and she's just like, I don't know. And she's like completely speechless. And I'm like, guys, do you not realize, like, why is no one like super excited right now? We're going to see dad. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see Jonah. Like, we're going to heaven right now. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus is going to come back and take us. And then this like crippling fear came over me. I'm like, what if I don't make it because I didn't get baptized, or because I didn't read the Bible enough, or what if, and I'm just panicking. And then I wake up and I'm like, okay, yeah, no, it's still in Hollywood. We're fine. But it was like, oh my word, like, I feel like I need to get baptized.
Yeah. That was God drawing you to him. Yeah, for sure.
So I text Darren at 5 a.m. Yo, I want to get baptized.
You hear a lot of stories like this on YouTube.
Yeah.
A lot of Muslims get it. Mm. Yeah. Of them dreaming about Jesus coming.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and Jesus talking to them.
Shook me to my core. Yeah. It did.
It, yeah, it's definitely a wake up call. That's actually awesome.
No, it was a really good dream. I'm glad I had it, because when it felt so real, I was like, yo, Jesus is coming back. And then I was like, wait. And then I got that time to reflect and be like, if I didn't do enough, I'm going to dive into the Bible right now and see, okay, what do I have to do as a Christian to make sure that I feel comfortable that I'm going to be saved when Jesus comes back?
Yeah.
And baptism is actually a call from the Holy Spirit saying, do this. Mm-hmm. Do this in remembrance of me. And it's a commandment. And that totally changed the game for me. I didn't realize that it's a commandment.
Mm-hmm. How was the baptism? Was it?
We did it at C3 together like a week and a half later. I flew back to Toronto, and normally, like, sometimes there's testimonies and people have a whole long speech, but there were 5 or 6 of us getting baptized at the same day. So you just kind of had a moment with the pastor in the tub itself. And he's saying, like, do you believe in Christ? You believe in God? You believe in the Trinity, and that Jesus came and died for your sins? And you say, I do. Yes, I believe everything. And then they dunk you in the water.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually excited. Yeah.
One of the things that the church told me before, they had a pre-baptism class, and they said, sometimes the devil will try to attack you once you're deciding to get baptized or after you get baptized. And I tell you, I had about a solid week, and then my life went crazy. And I've been fighting.
Before getting baptized?
No, after, like, I got baptized. Yeah, they told me that before. Like, careful, you know, like, there are spiritual battles going on earth, and we are blind to it until you really start to notice that. And I was like, oh, I think I'll be good. I feel good in my faith. I feel amazing. I'm going to church every week. I'm reading the Bible. I feel good. I'm getting baptized. You know, this is a big moment. And so much changed after I got baptized, and I've been fighting since. And like struggling with mental health and major depression, which I'd never felt before.
So it's almost like a third eye opened, and you start to discern the spiritual realm of things.
I'm not familiar because
I do feel that. I do feel that, like, there's the more I read the Bible, especially reading about these scriptures, I did go through a little bit of a depression because the guy that came on the podcast last time, Adrian, he was talking about that you're exposed to the highest form of good, but you're also exposed to the highest form of bad. So you're more aware of the evil that exists on the world, and that just made me sad, you know?
Yeah, it's a war, definitely a spiritual war.
And then you start to notice that when it comes to us, when I'm acting, am I acting out of just emotions or, you know, am I giving into my flesh or am I walking with God really? And yeah, it takes a lot of faith and a lot of prayer. And
it does. Know. And you have to like firmly believe it, especially like when I was dealing with the depression, it makes you not care about anything. So I loved making music. I loved hanging out with friends. I didn't want anything. And I would stay in my bed. I would feel fine just not moving and staring at the ceiling, and that's terrible.
That's literally me most of the time.
It's like, it's a serious mental illness, and that happened after I got baptized, and I don't think that's not a correlation.
Yeah, I mean, man, I want to pull up a quote by Jesus. Okay, this is John 12:25. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So it's almost Jesus giving us a warning that you might not have the most pleasurable experience on earth because now you prioritize your spiritual life over the worldly pleasures that the life, you know, that the world can offer you. So I don't think he's talking about that, you know, you should live a miserable life, but you must constantly deny yourself from enjoying the promises the devil kind of tells you, and you just got to focus on Jesus and becoming like Jesus and not give in to these temptations that might seem pleasurable and fun in the moment, like going to parties.
And then they are fun. That's like the issue. They are fun. And then it's like, this isn't line up with my value system anymore.
Yeah. And it's hard because when you have so many friends that don't have Jesus in their life yet, you start to alienate yourself from them because you're like, you know, I don't want to be pulled back into sin. It's the consequence is too hard. You know, it's too bad. If I go that route, so yeah, but I think that's what I want to. This is why I want to kind of like create a community. Start the podcast that there are people like us, because there's so many Christians probably in the world that feel like they're alone, but they're not, you know. We are going through the same stuff,
and that's why these youth focused churches are so important. I've got like, depending on what city I'm in, I try and find a church in each city, like LA is Zoe Church, Nashville and a bunch of different cities in the States actually have a church called The Porch. And it's amazing they have a podcast. So even if I can't make church, if I'm in Greece and I can only find Greek Orthodox churches, I listen to podcasts. And they just resonate so much harder when your youth and they're focused on you.
Spiritual warfare is real.
It's terrifying.
And that can only be discerned when you have the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
I can't imagine even like if someone talks to me about this before I was like born again, like I'll be like, what are you talking about?
They don't get it.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
You sound crazy. And it's like, there's a whole war going on and you wish you could explain it to them, but you will come across as crazy. Yeah. And I'm like, I just need you to be open-minded.
It will sound stupid to the average person.
It sounds bizarre. What do you mean? Yeah. Some spiritual, what is a spirit? They're not even understanding this.
Man, there's so many verses. I wish I had them memorized, but, this is one Corinthians 2:14-16. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. My interpretation of that is, like you need the Holy Spirit to be able to discern, to be able to look into the spiritual realm and be able to see what is of God and what is not of God.
Yeah, trying to explain that to non-Christians is like impossible. And it's like, I want so badly for you to understand, but I can't unless a person is open to it.
Yeah, it'll just go like, whoop, whoop.
And what often it just goes, no, Christians are hypocritical and you hate gays. And I'm like, that's not the conversation.
Yeah.
It's not the conversation.
That's not the conversations.
Yeah. No, it's not. And when it ends at that, when people have bad, what's it called? When people have bad interactions with Christians, they want to resort to that and say, oh, I tried. I gave Christianity a shot and they were super judgmental and they were hypocritical and they tell me to be perfect when they're not perfect. It's like, okay, you had a bad interaction with a person who does not represent all Christians. I don't even like to say that I'm Christian because then it comes with that hypocritical and homophobic. Yeah, I am trying to be Christ-like. That's what's in my bio, Christ follower. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show love, be happy, be generous, have self-control, have discipline, you know, be there, be supportive. It's not about...
Yeah, there's a lot of dogma in Christianity. It's being canceled right now. Like, Christianity's getting canceled. The Bible's being banned in the States. That's how you know it's like the end of times, because you're going to be persecuted when you follow Jesus.
That's prophesied in the Bible.
Yeah, how crazy is that? There's 2,000 prophecies in the Bible that were fulfilled.
Already.
2,000 out of 2,500.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's no scary. Joke. And knowing scary. This, like, people still don't believe in God.
No, they don't. it's so hard to be like, okay, I know this sounds crazy because you want to focus on getting rich, getting girls, whatever. But I'm like, there's this whole different side to earth and to life where there's a God that created you and loves you. And you have to be open and willing to see this. Understand that there's not contradictions in the Bible, and seeing that the creation of the world lines up with the Bible story, and you need to be open and hear it and not just have one interaction with a Christian who said something homophobic and end it all. Like, that's just not the ending that
Christians,
your story
needs.
Well,
Christians are not homophobic. Needs. Like, we love all people. We're taught
we're supposed
to love.
To, yes.
Yeah, we're taught to even love our enemies.
Love God, love people. It's the two most important commandments.
We just know that there's a cure to certain things, and that is Jesus. And Jesus saves. But the problem with today's world is we consider good, so we consider bad as good, and good as bad. Good as bad, right? We live in a society where everything's flipped. Promiscuity is glorified in the community, and a lot of bad things are glorified in the community that are not very good.
Yeah. No, and they try and normalize all these like anti-family, anti-traditional values. Yeah. Like, even in shows, you see how everybody is sleeping together and all of this. Yeah. And they try to make it so normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's not actually how it was designed.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of that, because I was one of those people before I became born again. I thought that was like, cool, that's normal. But again, when you come to Jesus, he changes your desires and he changes your view of things, and you start to like notice, okay, this is actually bad, this is good.
Yeah,
you can only discern that.
It completely changes your value system, and once your values change, that's the core of who you are. So all your actions change too, your perspective change, everything changes, and it's for the better. And we just don't they don't realize that.
Do you still suffer kind of like depression about it is tough being a Christian. You have to be strong, and like,
you have to be really strong.
Yeah, that's why if you see my wall right now, I have sticky notes everywhere of Bible verses, because I know that that's me putting the armor of God, constantly hearing from God makes it easier for me to go through life. At least I know I have all the solutions to the problems.
Yeah.
Every time I'm worried, every time I'm anxious, I can always hear from God. And
that's what makes it really challenging sometimes, is that even though it's an easy answer, it's like a Sunday school answer. We say, oh, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is always the answer. And it's like, what if you are struggling really, really hard and you don't understand, like I don't understand why my dad suddenly passed when I left the country for the first time, and then everything kind of fell apart from that. And I don't understand why initially he got cancer. I was angry at 15. I never questioned God's existence, but I questioned if he was good, because I said, why would somebody like my dad, who is my hero, and he still is, he was an amazing Christ-like Christian, great father, great dad. And I was like, why would somebody like this get cancer? And I was worried. I was only 15. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what stage two meant. And that's actually not so bad, stage two, because he got surgery and he got it removed. What he died was not from cancer. It was from a heart attack. Like, it was just a different condition. But after he got cancer, we realized the importance of showing up when people are going through something like this. Mm-hmm. How much giving a gift card to a dinner place, or people bringing us dinners, showing up in the hospital, calling us, how are you? You know, people calling weeks and months after, we realized how important that was and how much it means. So everyone after that we met that has cancer, that had somebody in the hospital, we showed up. We brought flowers. We called them. We brought lunch and dinners. And because he ended up being okay, I was like, wow, this is a huge blessing that my dad got cancer. I have so much more empathy for other people now that I'm like, honestly, I'm glad my dad got cancer.
This is one of my favorite quotes from John 13:7. Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand."
Yeah.
So a lot of the challenges that we go through, we don't know. We ask God, it's like, God, like, why are you putting me through this? But I always go back to this quote to remind myself that, okay, like, God has a better plan for me than what I want, what I'm experiencing right now.
And actually, like, after he passed, it's helped me a lot knowing that, you know what, I was heartbroken when he got cancer. Mm-hmm. And like 2 years later, I'm starting to realize I understand why now. And there were good things that came out of that. So I'm not saying it was good that he passed now. But
God just wanted to be with him sooner, maybe.
Yeah, but I'm giving their grace and just space to be something good coming from it. And there has been bits of good. Like, my relationship with my mom has improved drastically. Like, I was ready to not speak with her again when I moved to Mexico, which is when he passed. I moved away, and I remember texting my sister, I don't know if I want to have a relationship with my mom, because this is so toxic and I feel completely unloved and neglected. And then when she called me and said, Dad died, and it was a complete sudden phone call, fast forward 2 years, and her and I, we live together when I'm in Toronto. We are each other's friends. We go to Jays games together. She's apologized for things, and I never thought that would happen. Like, our relationship is completely different now. I could call her and just say, like, what's up? And this was so not on the table before. So there are good things. Like, I was able to keep her company when I'm in Toronto, and stay with her, make sure she's okay, make sure she's taking her vitamins, going on walk, make her tea and stuff, you know, keep her company. And then I'd still go and leave and do my own thing, live in other countries and come back. And we really needed each other. It's still very hard, of course. Losing my dad was the worst thing that ever happened, but I feel like I got my mom back from that.
Yeah. And because Jesus promises us eternal life,
I'll see my dad again.
Yeah, you'll see them again. It's just temporary. This is where I start viewing. This is why I feel we're in the Matrix after reading the Bible, because we're in this temporary life that's very short compared to eternal life, right?
It's you try almost to think like about eternity. You hurt your head.
It's almost God just testing us. This is your trial period. You have like 3 days to like act right, and you'll make it to the Garden of Eden and to heaven, the special place I'll provide for you. You know,
and it changes everything.
Yeah, it's just like seeing the world from that point of view. It's like, sure, like, I might suffer now, but I'll be like with Jesus forever. Yeah. with my family. That's kind of awesome.
I would be so much worse off if I thought I would never see my dad again.
Without these idiots that don't believe in God? Like, of course. Sounds great, man.
Yeah.
And then you stop caring about the superficial things. Like, you know, like money, sure, whatever. Like,
well, you start caring less. And then I think I think people will struggle with different things. But like, these other smaller things just don't matter as much. Mm-hmm. You don't have the same goals as these people.
Yeah. I just trust that, you know, God will provide every day.
Yep. No, that was what I was reading this morning. Like, don't worry about tomorrow. The birds, don't worry about what they're going to eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
today has its own worries. Tomorrow will have its own. Like, leave tomorrow to be tomorrow's problems.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Yeah. So yeah, we all always go live by that. Even like me saying that kind of puts me in this, okay, relax.
Yeah, and you'll, it's like, fine. It doesn't matter what happens after this. If you get a phone call that's not good or something's happening, it doesn't matter. Your life is so short on earth compared to our eternity.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. Good eternity. Like, this was one thing I wanted to talk about too, because I think it's really interesting when people are like, no, I don't believe in hell, because why would God do that?
Hell is real. Jesus talked more about hell than heaven.
It was about heaven.
How crazy is that? He was giving us a warning, man. You'll burn in eternity. And I don't know if you want that.
Hell is scary. And I think it's really important to remember that God is not giving you an option of good and bad. He's saying, choose me and I am good and I am happiness and I am peace. And choose me while you're here on earth. And if you don't, you're choosing the opposite of me, the opposite of good. And that's hell. It's the absence of God. You're taking out good and love and peace.
See, this is how much God loves us. He gave us free choice to either live with him, or love him and be with God, or not be with God, reject God, right? And if you decide to be with me, you'll be with me for eternity. And God is so nice. He's a gentleman. He's like, if you don't want to be with me, I'm not going to drag you into heaven with me.
Drag you head over heels. You're coming with me.
No, God's like, okay, do whatever you want. If you want separation from me, you'll live eternity separated from me.
Yeah.
And that's your choice.
And that's not what people want.
Have you heard of the story of Lazarus and the rich guy?
No.
So it's in one of the Gospels. So there's a story of Lazarus. I believe Lazarus is like a very poor person. He had leprosy, I think. And he was like sleeping on the streets outside of this rich guy's house. But the rich guy always like ignores him, right? And he had everything he ever wanted, the rich guy. And they both die at the same time. Lazarus gets carried by an angel. When he died, he gets carried by an angel up to heaven. And the rich guy got sent right to hell. And now he's like in chains. Like, the rich guy's in chains in hell, burning. And he was crying to Abraham, because he also saw like the Lazarus get carried to heaven, to God. And the rich guy's like crying to Abraham, please, like, you need to warn my family that this is where they'll end up if they don't come to God. And then Abraham talked to the rich guy. He's like, we already sent Moses to warn them. I know, we already sent Moses to warn you guys, and you guys still didn't listen.
Yeah.
And it's in the gospel, so I don't know what to do. Like, we can't really know. But the guy's like, no, but if someone comes back, who went through hell, they're gonna listen for sure. But it's like, no,
they still won't.
Still won't.
People saw miracles in Bible times when Jesus was around and still refused.
Yeah.
They nailed him on the cross and the man was walking on water. The man turned water to wine.
Yeah.
The man turned two bread and three fish or three. What did he turn? Two fish and three bread into food to feed 5,000 people. And they're still like, he's an imposter. This is blasphemy and you deserve to die.
Yeah. I mean, the resurrection itself, it's like,
the resurrection itself,
yeah.
And they're still not going to believe it. The fact that you're hearing stories about this 2,000 years later and everything still lines up, people are still not going to believe it.
This is what's crazy about the resurrection and the gospels, right? All the gospels were written in three different continents. And I believe, they're just so far apart, like they were written, and they all line up together, the stories. It's like, people don't believe that.
there's
more proof of Jesus resurrecting and actually walking on earth than there is
the big proof. Bang.
Yeah, the science. Yeah, like there's more proof of Jesus resurrecting than all the science theories that we have today of how, like, the world was created.
And I've been seeing on the news recently about how they're starting to prove more about how when the Red Sea opened for the Israelites leaving Egypt, not just are their chariots and
stuff under the
armor
under
found
the ocean.
In the sea, they're finding, like, I don't even know what
I think the path that they walked on, I think there was like the fire thing.
Yeah, it was the fire on the shore.
The fire on the shore.
And it was like the sand would have had to been under so much heat.
Yeah, and there's
to look like this.
There's footprints on
it.
It's
like, oh, it's because it actually happened. And there was fire coming down from heaven.
Yeah.
Burning the, following the exact Bible story. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yeah.
Haters will say, atheist haters will say it's a fairy tale. But man, I don't know.
It's just a crazy story, but it'll change your life and then it'll change your afterlife.
Yeah.
Scary.
Man, I don't know. It's not my problem. I'm not the one going to hell.
I wish I could just like make people understand, but that's this free will thing that God gave us. And it makes it so much more challenging.
You can't really like force people into.
You can't.
You can only lead a horse to the water, but you're not going to make
you
him
can't,
drink it.
You can't force them. Yeah. And that's why I think it's so important to be Christ-like and not necessarily shove down what's right and what's wrong and what's biblical down people's throats. Mm-hmm. Because even if it is right and wrong, you have to be welcoming and make people want to be like you, which is why I focus so much more on trying to show the fruits of the spirits and be Christ-like rather than be like, God didn't design men and men to sleep together. Obviously not. The biological doesn't make any sense. That's not how God designed it.
Yeah.
God wanted people to be plentiful and have kids. It's not obviously not how it works, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go and be homophobic.
It's pretty clear that God hates homosexuality and perversion, and a lot of it is just, you know, it's like people just identify with their sin. They gave it a name. Yeah, it's because of pride. And you see so many videos online of, you can actually look this up, there's so many videos on YouTube of people saying, I thought I was gay and then Jesus came to my life.
Oh wow.
Yeah, there's so many of them. It's actually wild. People. And there's actually a speech by this one girl. She had to break up with her girlfriend because she decided that, okay, like, I love Jesus so much that I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
And it was tough for her, right?
Of course.
And I think she said something like, oh, I used to be gay, and I'm saying I used to be gay because I don't identify with my temptations. I identify with Jesus.
Wow.
You know.
Wow, that's a strong person.
Yeah. And
that's hard to find.
To go back to, you know, you can't really make people believe. The scripture tells us that God has to draw them closer to him. This is John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up the last day. So I really believe that Jesus came to me. I didn't read like a Bible verse that made me like believe, or I didn't hear a preacher that made me believe. I heard Jesus' voice, the Holy Spirit, knocking on my door. And I was just in complete surrender and to let that energy in.
Yeah, I believe my dream was Jesus for sure.
Coming to us. So I'm just praying that God would drop more people closer to him.
Yeah, and use us. I mean, that's our job is.
And maybe God is already doing that, but they're just rejecting. They're too prideful.
That's what happens.
They just have too much pride.
I mean, it would be hard to be told everything that you love doing.
Yeah,
it's actually going to be very, very bad idea for your soul, actually. And you have to actually believe that and want to believe that. And it's hard to be convicted of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like to not be, like to be told money is not success in this world. It's not how many girlfriends or something you've had. It's not your business title. It's none of this.
Yeah. I was a victim of that, man.
Everyone is.
It's tough because again, you get glorified, it gets promoted, and people think you're cool if you have multiple girlfriends. But honestly, man, I can honestly tell you, I was dying inside. I was miserable. The only thing that kept me going was the validation I was getting from the outside world. But deep down, I feel like I hated it. I would always complain. Just like, yo, like.
Because as soon as it's gone, or if life kind of goes south and you lose your job or something, or maybe your family gets sick and you have to move, now what? Now where's this validation coming from?
It's temporary.
God's not.
Yeah. I heard it somewhere. It's when you go for things of this world, it's kind of like drinking salt water. It'll quench your thirst right now.
And dehydrate you in the end.
You're going to be like thirsty.
And you're going to be sick.
Next thing you know, you're like just like a salt water addict. But it's not good for you. Yeah.
I remember there was one verse I've been like manifesting on a lot this week. There's a verse saying that, let me look it up before I just quote it wrong. Just about how we have the strength to turn away from any temptation that comes to us.
Man, that must be the verse I read this morning. Wait, hold on. That must be the verse that I read this morning.
Yeah, I don't want to say it wrong. No temptation has overtaken you except such as in common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted.
I wrote that on my wall this morning.
It's been on my mind all week.
I wrote that one verse.
1 Corinthians 10:13.
Dude.
This is an important verse.
Yo, this is actually tripping me out because I had to rewrite it three times because I kept messing up the verse.
Yeah.
But I wrote that this morning. That's actually wild.
God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it.
This is like some weird synchronicity.
That's a crazy verse. Like, because so much of my life, I wanted to be able to say like, oh, like I had to make that bad choice because I couldn't say no, or I couldn't fight it. No, that was an excuse. That was being weak, and I think I knew that.
Yeah.
But this just kind of confirmed it, and it makes me feel so much stronger too. It's like, if okay, good and bad choice, I know now I have the strength, and just knowing that makes me feel like it'll be easier to make the right decision.
Yeah. I do feel that I get stronger when it comes to temptations every day. And as long as I keep reading the Bible, it aligns you.
Christianity.
Man, it's giving me chills, Gloria. I literally wrote this verse on my wall this morning. I didn't write any other verse. And there's like...
There's a lot.
Out of all the verses, that's crazy. So we're definitely on the same page. That's crazy.
Yeah, that verse really stuck out to me.
Yeah. You guys got to keep praying. You know what I noticed too? Fasting is very, very key. I've been fasting all week.
I haven't done this yet.
But you haven't fasted?
I haven't.
It's like...
I want to know more about it.
It gives you spiritual powers. I mean, the Bible talks all about it, right? It makes your prayers more effective. It's a way to draw closer to God because it's, in a way, you're denying your desires, right? You're denying yourself. You feel hungry. You're just saying
fasting
no to your flesh.
Don't eat.
For me, it's just water. If I get hungry, maybe I'll like
all day for a week.
No. So I do some type of intermittent fasting where I go the whole day. My eating window is from 7 or 8 p.m. to 12. Wow. So I don't eat anything today until like 7 p.m.
And
I'll stop at 12.
That up?
Forever, I don't know. Like, depends.
Oh, you do this every day?
Yeah, it's my third day right now doing it.
Wow.
But I've done it before, but like,
you know, I know my brother does this, like my sister's husband. I think because I grew up, like my family never did this. I'm just not familiar with it. But since they got married and I hear that he like fasts a lot, I've been like intrigued to know more about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how much the Bible talks about it actually.
A lot. It's almost like Jesus saw fasting equally as important as prayer.
Wow.
about fasting. Let me look at verses right now.
Yeah, no, that reminds me of another thing that I've been...
Because right now I'm fasted. Like, I haven't eaten anything. I'm, like, I do feel the hunger, but I'm just constantly denying myself, right? And yeah, Matthew 6:16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to the Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So even, you know, Jesus says that God will reward people who fast.
There's actually a lot of benefits to doing a lot of self-discipline, things like this.
It
triggers the, what's it called, anterior mid-cingulate cortex, part of your brain. And that is like a part of your brain where when you do something that triggers self-discipline, you're doing something you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Like you want to eat, but you're building that this muscle,
yeah, it's a
in
muscle.
Your brain.
It's a fasting muscle. I feel the same way. Like, not having sex as well is a form of fasting. Yes. I call it the sex fast. Like, I've been celibate for like almost four months now, and I feel so great.
The easier it becomes, the more you work on the self-discipline. And I've been focusing on that a lot this week as well.
I just feel so connected to God when I fast.
Yeah.
It's a part of my routine now. And like, you read the Bible when you're fasted, you're just like, just like so connected.
I guess it's just a way of like disconnecting from the worldly things, like even eating, like,
yeah,
saying I don't need any of this. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I still eat a lot. Like,
of course.
Yeah, Pavi sees me when I get home at 7 or 8 p.m. and I just open the fridge. I eat like 2,000-3,000 calories. I'm just like, and then I stop. I stop midnight and then I fast again the next day. So that's my way of doing it. This is a question from David Hammond. Why are Christian men so weak? How to strengthen faith? How to find brotherhood of men? So why are Christian men so weak?
I think all men are weak, but
Christian men are the strongest type of men out there.
You need discipline to even know that you're weak. They don't know what they're doing. They're just falling into temptation. They have no reason.
I wouldn't even call them Christians. Like, you're not a real Christian if you don't follow Jesus and you don't walk like Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're not a real Christian.
All men are. Everyone. Yeah. Why not even just Christian men? I think everybody's weak and you need the discernment to know right and wrong and then realize what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah. 100%. So, yeah, it's if you're not walking like Jesus, you're not living your life the way that Jesus lives it. You're weak. But I think that's because for me, I become weaker the less I read the Bible. Mm-hmm. I become weaker the more I give in to temptation. It's a matter of self-discipline.
Yeah, and the more you work on self-discipline, the easier it gets. So I'm trying to do that. And it works with anything. Like, fasting is going to help you build that muscle. And working out is going to help you build that muscle. Not eating out, not eating the fast food that you want, but maybe making a smoothie instead. Not spending money or not buying something when you want to. Not going out, not making the bad decisions. Doing anything that you don't want to do is...
Yeah, I think ultimately what makes people weak, not just guys, right? It's relying too much on their own strength.
Yeah.
When truthfully, you got to get your strength from God. You know? You got to get it from Jesus. He supplies all the strength. And then, I always tell people, it's like, I feel no fear about anything anymore since I've become so devoted to Jesus.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's different because I grew up Christian. I don't fear things, but
yeah,
I'm sure people would if they haven't had this like peace of Christ.
Yeah, I can't even because...
I don't worry. Like, I've known since I was a kid, Jesus got me. It's fine. I don't need to know what's going to happen. Like, I'm going to be okay no matter what. Like, Jesus got me. And even if this life sucks, which sometimes it does,
yeah,
life is such a small blimp if you try and think about eternity.
Mm-hmm.
it hurts my head when I try and think about how long eternity is. Yeah, living, and then it just doesn't end. And it like, I can't fathom.
Yeah. Understanding. I mean, look at the story of Noah's Ark, right? So the story of Noah's Ark is Noah was telling people that, yo, there's a big flood that's coming. If you guys don't repent and, like, you know, believe, whatever, you're going to get killed by the flood. They're like, just ignore Noah and start just focusing on living their lives, their married lives, and, you know, just kind of live for themselves. And then the flood came and destroyed them. We're kind of like in the same situation, you know, like you have to repent of your sins, turn away from your sin because Jesus is coming. The end is near. And
we don't know when it is.
We're going to be in heaven and eternity. So I'm chilling, but you know, there's so many warnings. And when it comes to the fear, in Matthew 10:28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. Yeah. I'm more afraid of that, for sure. Yeah. I'm more afraid of that.
Yeah.
But anything of this world, I really don't care.
And that's why, like, I'm glad that I kind of got that warning of, okay, after you really dedicate your life to Jesus, the devil hates that. He hates that. And he wants to make your life difficult and miserable. And he's going to try and get you to cross back on the other side and be team devil. And, like, I don't think it's any coincidence that my mental health just completely deteriorated. And there were some days I didn't care about anything. And that includes, like, faith. I could just be like, this doesn't matter. And you have to use that part of you that is so embedded in Christ and say, everything can suck, but Jesus is still there, even though I feel terrible, even though I feel completely underwater and overtaken by depression or by the things of this world. I feel terrible. Christ has me. I'm going to be okay. That takes a lot of work, and it's difficult. The devil has been trying to get me since I got baptized.
Yeah.
And he's not gonna. But it's hard.
If you're a friend of this world, you're in enmity with God. Anyone who's a friend of the world is an enemy of God, right? And that kind of... But if you're a friend of God, you're also the enemy of the world. That's why... As Christians, we're kind of so miserable because we're kind of against the world at this point.
We need to
stick
together. We look like we stick out like a sore thumb here. Like, I meet a lot that don't want to drink. They don't want to go to parties. And other people are kind of like, what do you do then? What do you mean you haven't had a girlfriend? What do you mean you're waiting till marriage? What do you mean you go to church all the time? Like, that stuff doesn't make sense. It's like not real. That go like some random guy just wrote the Bible. I'm like, bro, if you're saying this, you clearly don't know anything about the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, honestly.
A lot of people wrote the Bible.
And my views on that changed so hard as well. It's like I was a big fornicator back in the day. And now my views about it completely changed. I'm straight up just dating for marriage.
Yeah.
Dating for marriage. Just nothing less. But
And that's the thing, like, to people that aren't Christian or following Christ, they don't see the value in what we're doing. They don't get it. And it's like, once you follow it, you start to be like, oh, now I get it. And then you get more into Christianity, read the Bible more, find out more about what it's like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you know what? I get it now.
Yeah.
And you start to fall in love with it. And then you're looking back at everyone else who doesn't get it yet. And you're like, oh, no, please come to church. Come, just be open-minded. Come check it out. Because they're not just going to get it.
Because you've seen behind the curtains of, like, what God had planned for you. And it's just so much better. It's just so much more peaceful. Like, yeah, we are suffering, but we have that inner peace that we're going to live for eternity with Jesus. Yeah. So it's like,
I wish I could just, like, share that peace with everyone and make them understand it. But that's this free will thing that people want. They want to be able to choose. If God made us, programmed us to love him, that's not a relationship. That's called a robot. And that's what makes this whole life so crazy. Not everyone is going to choose Jesus and choose life and goodness. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So it's our job as Christians to be like Christ and try and resemble this Christ-like character so that they start to see, you, these people are different. These mm-hmm. people are happy. These people aren't worried. They're doing things differently. They're not out, not that the club necessarily is bad, but these people are living different.
I don't know if they're going to see it as something like that. They're probably like, look at us, like we're lame, to be honest.
Yes, because it looks lame. It
looks lame, but...
But I definitely still have fun and I'm still a Christian, for sure. Yeah, like, I think that's what's really interesting about people like you and Darren. Like, you, it started to, especially with Darren, like, embedded pulling people from the club scene into church.
Yeah.
And I would still go hang out with Darren in the club.
Some of my boys, I would like randomly like send them like YouTube videos about like, oh, did you know that like the Bible like did like prophesied this and it happened? How crazy is that?
Crazy.
You know, just like little conspiracy theories. I'll like get them questioning that, you know, yeah, the Bible is actually true.
I would try and do this as well. Like if I ever had a topic about how like the earth was created or something with a non-believer, I always go back to this one video about a bunch of proofs that the Big Bang wasn't what happened.
No, that's the stupidest theory ever.
Because it's collapsed on itself so many times.
It's so stupid. I don't know why people are atheists. Like,
I think atheism, honestly, I feel like it doesn't exist. I think people could be agnostic, like they just don't want to believe in anything, but to
atheists doesn't exist.
I think deep down
everyone knows that God exists. Someone created them. There's moral laws.
Yeah, I don't think it's a lack of belief. Heart. It's a lack of knowledge. Like, they are just not knowing enough. Like, I can just study the eye itself, how it works, how optics work, how being able to see color, see visual, see everything, and then see expressions, see people, and be able to interpret it. The eye itself, the retina, how everything works together, the millions of fibers and nerves in our eyes mm-hmm. to allow us to see. I'm like, just look at this. You're going to tell me that it came from two things of nothing hitting each other, making something, and it developed into this?
Yeah.
That's just the eye. And then I studied skincare. I studied anatomy, biology, microbiology, disinfecting versus sanitation. And I'm like, we're talking about the difference of a spore, and these people don't even know what this is, and they're going to tell me God isn't real. I'm like, you're not looking for it.
Yeah.
You don't even know. I'm like, look at a sunset. Tell me that's not a God who's just like, look how beautiful life is.
Exactly.
Every day it's different and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Stars, studying stars is crazy. Studying anything, the brain.
Yeah.
Blows my mind. Motor yeah. system, nervous system, atomic system. I think there is not atheism. This is not a thing. It's not a lack of belief. It's just a lack of knowledge.
I think it's a lack of brain cells. No offense. So it's like, it's pretty simple. Like a kindergarten kid would understand. Like, can life come from no life?
Honestly,
it's like there's nothing that's ever existed. Like anything,
nothing
that came from no life. Like life has to come from life. That's why,
yeah,
the Bible is real and God is real.
It takes more faith to believe that something came from nothing than to believe that God created us.
100%.
It takes more faith.
You're on blind faith. Like, there's never been proof. Like, science has never been able to prove creation.
It can't.
And evolution doesn't solve it.
It doesn't. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know you want to claim I'm from a monkey, but actually I have a loving heavenly father.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what monkey. Happened.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay, Jesus talks gives me chills all the time.
It's so important to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important.
Gives me chills, man. I feel so wholesome.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think I needed this.
Thanks be to God.
You can't even
prove that we're from primates. Like, honestly.
I wonder. I haven't
looked into it. It's not even proven. You've seen skeletons, but like...
I don't know enough about it, but I remember when I was in physics and I went to a Christian school. So they, of course, are going to talk about the Bible creation story, but as part of the curriculum, they have to explain like the Big Bang as well. And
see,
I just remember saying like,
get.
how do, my dad would always say this, how do trees grow in soil? What is soil? Past trees. It's, what is it? Like composition made from previous trees. Okay, where did those trees come from? Well, they were raised in soil. What is soil made from? So where did it start? You know?
Yeah.
And so I remember just talking to my physics teacher. I'm like, what if, you know, there are signs that the earth is thousands or millions of years old, as people will say. And I'm like, I don't deny that there's striations and formations of the earth that make it seem like the earth is old, millions of years old, whereas in the Bible story, it looks more like 7,000 years old, give or take. And I'm like, what if God made the earth older than it is? What if he just made it look old? What if he just made soil or something? And I just remember him saying, I don't know if that's in God's nature. I'm like, well, Adam and Eve didn't start as babies. He just made adults.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know. And I never got a conclusion to that, but I'm like,
yeah, like the first human, like
they weren't babies that needed a mother. Like we wouldn't have been able to develop then.
Someone had to have created a man and a woman.
So I'm like, what if the rock wasn't a perfect shining? What if it had some scratches or something? I don't know, because this is something I conflict with, because the Bible does make it seem like the earth is 7,000 years old or so, but it doesn't say that it is. It says that, like, God created day, and on the first day he made this, on the second day he made this, but there's also arguments that, like, oh, but like God isn't in time, like he's outside of time, he's outside of earth. So what if a day on day one actually was like 10,000 years to us or something? I don't know.
You see, I mean, if God can raise someone from the dead,
I'm not going to question the guy. I'm not going to question him.
Anything is possible, man. Like, we could actually have been created in 7 days.
We could have been created in 7 days. The earth could be 7,000 years old. That's more
probable, knowing that there's 2,000 prophecies fulfilled in the Bible. It's more probable. Like, I'd rather put my trust in that. And, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see when Jesus comes again. People's faces.
Yeah.
Like, oh, crap. There was an Adam and Eve. And now that's Jesus on a horse. Oh, my God. That's Jesus on a horse.
It might be too late for me.
And there's trumpets coming out of heaven. Repent, repent, repent.
It's just crazy. And we don't know when it's going to be.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be in our lifetime?
Apparently, it's in the same generation as the generation when Israel becomes a nation, which was in the 1970s. So.
I heard that. But yeah, that, like, I mean, the Bible says,
I mean,
says,
like,
that
Israel's being attacked right now. And there's a satanic agenda behind it. Yeah. Believe what you want about Palestine. Online, all you see is like, oh, Palestine's like getting bombed. Oh my God, like hospitals. Like, no, like, if you, it's being attacked because it's God's favorite city.
Yeah, it's a different topic when it's about, like, what the Bible says about it. And it does say that the Jews will be removed and that they're going to come back.
Yeah.
So it's
very obvious to us. It's like, as Christians, very obvious. It's like Satan hates Jews because. Jews,
chosen people.
Yeah.
It's a really, the end days are going to be terrible. And a third of the population is going to be wiped out. That Euphrates River is going to be dried up, and it's almost dried up. That's terrifying. It's going to release an angel that's going to kill a third of the population.
Yeah. And there's
terrifying.
False prophets, one world religion, one world government.
It's going to happen. Mark of the beast.
Mark of the Beast. That's
and
the
we don't know what that is.
And that's the unforgivable sin in the Bible.
Oh, wow.
So if once you get that Mark of the Beast, whether it's your hand or your forehead, we still don't know.
We don't know.
Could
what
be
it
a
is.
Chip.
Could be a chip. I'm terrified of.
Could be a chip.
And they're starting to do that. You can scan with your hand.
Yeah. And there's a new patent that Microsoft just posted. It's not been created yet, but like, if you look at the patent numbers at the end of it, it's like 666, like 060606. and it has something to do with currency, cryptocurrency. And in the Bible, the mark of the beast is like people are able to buy and sell things with the mark of the beast. So yeah, this is like real life Bible, Bible prophecies happening.
Yeah.
In front of us.
Yeah, I think if people are confused about Christianity or very, very new to it and want to hear more, looking at the prophecies and seeing what was written 2,000 years ago is happening right now.
Like fall of Babylon and everything.
Just go down the rabbit hole. It's not a conspiracy. This was written before it happened. And we're going to see more things that were already written happen in the future.
And it's a lot of natural prophecies as well. It's like rivers connecting, right? And then it would happen in real life.
Yeah, and proof of different Bible stories already happening.
Israel becoming a nation.
Just look up the proof of the Bible and you're going to find it.
Yeah, there's 300-something prophecies about Jesus. Like prophets wrote about Jesus thousands of years before Jesus actually came. And he fulfilled all of them, every single one of them.
I definitely encourage people
to check
it out.
He's going to be resurrected. I think there's a prophecies of they prophesied about Judas betraying Jesus as well for 30 silver.
Well, he says that the rooster will crow 3 times. That was Jesus saying that, though, that the rooster will crow 3 times. Yeah.
Well, that's not Judas. This is different. What was the prophecy? I just use ChatGPT for everything. Fulfilled by Judas.
So what's the worst thing that'll happen when people look into the Bible? Worst case, you waste a day of your life, you know. Best case, you save your soul for eternity. That makes you think.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Old Testament prophesized Judas betraying Jesus. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. Psalm 41:9. So yeah, that's just one prophecy out of the 341. Prophecies fulfilled in Jesus, the deity of Christ. What's your dating life like as a Christian girl?
It's always been pretty focused on dating to get married. I was actually engaged at 19, but I ended up breaking that off just because I realized he was not the guy for me, and he was doing some things he shouldn't have been behind my back, but we actually, like, never slept together. We were both Christian. That was, like, really important to me that we both had the same faith. Like, we would go to church together. I didn't know that he was cheating on me the entire time. I didn't know that. We weren't talking about, like, that. Like I said, we never slept together, but he was sleeping with other people. And I didn't know until after we were engaged. So that was obviously like pretty heartbreaking, but I called that off and I'm so glad every single day, which was another example of bad things happen and then they turn out so amazing. I am so thankful every day that I left that situation and that I went through that heartbreak and I went through that whole, oh, I don't know how to live life without him, but like, this is terrible. This isn't for me. Something's got to work out because this is not for me. And I'm so thankful every day now. If I have a bad day, I just think, oh, at least I didn't marry him. At least I had the strength as a young 19-year-old girl who was ready to give my life at 19 and get married at 20, which is what my parents did, which is what my sister did. It was very normal in our culture. I have 4 older siblings, are all married
now.
What's
your background?
Dutch. So, like, I grew up in Canada, but, like, very traditional Dutch values in my household. You marry Christians. Divorce is not on the table, and you wait till marriage. And it took me a long time to date again after that because it really broke me. Mm-hmm. But I've always valued dating. Like, I don't want to just, I'm not interested in that hookup culture at all. Mm-hmm. And now, like, I'm dating again. And as soon as I think that it's not going to be a long-term thing, I'm always thinking about, are they making me a better person? Do they push me to want to be better? Do they inspire me? Do they bring me closer to Christ? Are they willing to go to church with me? Because I can tell you now, the person I'm dating now wants to go with me and does go with me.
Do you have a boyfriend
right now? Yeah. And especially just like with international modeling, I have to deal with someone that's okay with, you know, not sleeping together, because half the time we're going to be in different countries anyways. Like, I'm not going to just, like, settle down because I found a guy, which is what a lot of girls do, and no hate, of course. I love my careers right now. So if I get a call tomorrow, hey, we can get you signed in Paris, move next week, I'm going. You know, I did that with Milan, and he came and flew to Milan and came to see me. And I moved to Greece a few times, which is where he lives, and he comes to Canada as well. Like, but a lot of the time, we're not in the same country. Mm-hmm. So,
that's cool.
So, dating, so what,
you guys
just,
are like long distance?
Yeah, most of the time. He's in Canada right now. He was just going to visit for a few days, and I turned it into a few weeks. nice. And I'll probably follow him to Greece shortly, but. It's really important to make sure that the other person knows your values, because when you are a Christian, faith has to be your center. Yeah. And when Christ has its effect on you, you want Christ to be your centerfold. It's your focus. It is your present. It's your future. You are thinking about what church you want to go to, what church you're going to go to together. You're going to think about a future family if you want one, and think about, are they the kind of person that I could see them praying with the kids?
Yeah.
Are they the people that are going to continue going to church with me? Or if I don't feel like it, they'll nudge me and say, we should go to church. You know, are they going to encourage me?
Yeah. So he's a Christian.
Yeah. So that's really important for them to be.
You guys waiting for marriage to... do the thing?
Yeah. It's a difficult thing, of course, but I asked him. And I said, I would like to wait till we're married. And that's a hard ask for somebody.
Yeah.
And
this is not very normal.
Right? It's not normal. And that's not easy either. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. But he's actually been really good with that.
Yeah.
And the issue, I guess, is that the ex, like the ex-fiance, he said it was, and he would begrudgingly go to church with me. And as soon as we broke up, he was sleeping with multiple girls and stopped going to church. And I believe he still doesn't. I don't really know, but I know that he did stop. And he told me to. He's like, oh, you know, I slept with 5 girls after we broke up, and two of them were people I cheated on you with. Okay, great. So I don't care if you call yourself Christian. I can tell that's not Christ-like.
No, it's not a Christian.
And I don't think he was even calling himself that. So, but it's not just about, do they call themselves and, you know, get a pat on the back. Okay, he's Christian. Phew. Is he Christ-like? That matters so much more to me. Having somebody that's Christ-like as a partner is just so important.
I think people just don't have fear of the Lord, so they keep doing stupid things. If you actually read the Bible, Jesus wasn't a nice guy. It's like one of his quotes is like, you say that you love me, but yet you don't do what I say. And he was like very firm about it.
Right.
And then every time he healed someone, he came across like growing up, like Jesus came across like as a guy. It's like, oh, I'm just healing people, whatever. No, like he would heal you and he would tell you, okay, now sin no more or something worse will happen to you. Like, there's a verse of Jesus saying that to someone that he just healed. He healed a paraplegic guy, like, mm-hmm. next to the pole. He's like, okay, sin no more or something worse will happen to you. And, like, that just, like, kind of scares me. It's like, Jesus already healed my heart. And if I like, mess up again, something worse will happen to me.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I have that fear right now.
And I just remember, too, that, like, the ex-fiance, he would say, like, oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I'm like, I didn't know what to say back then, but I've always reflected on that. And I'm like, you don't need to call your friends to be friends. But what does a relationship look like?
Yeah.
It looks like connection.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like keeping up with each other and continually having a relationship.
That's a beautiful thing about Christianity, is if you look at like other religions, Islam, Buddhism and all that stuff, they have all these like rules, like you have to do this and this and this, or you won't make it to heaven. Jesus, you don't have to do anything. In fact, when disciples decided to leave Jesus' ministry, like back in the day, he let them go, and he went, I think he had like 72 or something, like 70 something like disciples, and a lot of them like walked away. And And Jesus turned to the 12 disciples, and asked them, are you guys going to walk away too? And they're like, no. You know, Jesus gave us a freedom to like not follow him. Mm-hmm. But it's up to us. But the thing is, when I go to church, it's not coming from a place of, I have to do it. It's, no, it's I do I it because to. Jesus saved me. Yeah. And I want to get closer to Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you want to and you know.
I pray because I know it works and I'm just talking to God.
And you feel better after. You feel at peace. You feel less stressed.
I don't have to fast. I don't have to like not eat.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, you don't have to go to church to be Christian, but you need a relationship with Christ. So whatever that means to you, and I'm not going to discourage going to church. Some did not help me grow as a Christian. Mm. I'll be honest. And that's why finding these youth-based churches have been so amazing for me, because what they're talking about is so much more relevant in my life and so much more important. If I'm having pastors talk about what dating should look like and what red flags might look like in dating, that's really helpful for me as somebody that's dating and isn't married. And maybe there's some churches, like especially those Reformed churches, they were so much more targeted to people that have been Christian their whole life. And there's so much deeper stories, and they're talking about all these names as if you already know who they are. And I've heard so many people go and have experiences at Reformed churches and say, I hated church. I'm like, that was not the place for you. You found the shoe, but that one didn't fit. So let's put you in a different direction. And I could definitely see like the benefits of Reformed churches and how they're a lot more proper. But man, it hurt my soul when I found out that they lock the doors if you're late.
Oh,
Oh, that hurt. I'm like, you say you're pushing respect. I get that. I understand. Everybody shows up looking clean and proper and the dress socks that you hate wearing. I understand, and you have to respect God, so you better show up on time. But that is not Christ-like to lock the door. And I'm just like, if that's somebody's first relationship with church, no, it's going to hurt them. Man. They're going to walk away. They're
lost, too. So many Christians are lost, for sure.
So we need to be the evangelical Christians. We have to be Christ-like.
The definition of church is any two or three people or more
Gather together.
That is the definition of church. Technically, Christ. Right now we have a camera guy, Pavi.
We are church.
Us three. This is our church.
This is right church.
Now. So, anyone who got any two or more people gather in my name is a church.
Yeah.
It's more. It's a bonus.
I go to church for like the community, but for worship, like that is so amazing for me to experience. Like music. As a musician, like that goes right to my soul, and that's directly tied with my relationship with Christ. So if I can just feel the ambience, and if the music is good and the piano player is right on and it's hitting every string in my heart, I'm just like, oh my word, God is good, and I'm going to probably cry.
Have you thought about making like worship songs?
I have before, actually. I was going to do the worship team at C3. I just keep leaving the country. So it's not a good time for me to commit to a team because I can't. Because if I get the phone call, which I do, I leave. And it's so when I think I'm like founded somewhere, I want to get more into the church. That's what I love about C3. They write all their songs. So I'm really interested in doing that and singing and writing with them. Like that sounds beautiful, but I can't commit to it to right now. But I have written Christian songs. Even like when I started writing, before I even know how to do it, I was writing Christian songs about being lost and being found in Jesus and wanting the Lord to command me, like take lead of my life. And I think about those songs because the lyrics feel so personal to me. I mean, they were times in my life that I felt so low that I resort to writing and just needing my outlet to get it out. And then it's me falling to God in my outlet, which is writing lyrics. Yep. And I can always look back on them and be like, I know what I was struggling with. And I saw God help me overcome it. Yeah. And he gave me strength when I needed it. And I didn't know what was happening at the time, but I didn't need to because I was going to be developed in that process and come out stronger.
Amen.
Yeah, God gives us strength, and it's crazy.
What's it like being a model and a Christian?
I get asked this a lot. I don't find it contradicting very much. Like,
I just know that that world has seemed very superficial to me when I was in it, and I always felt weird about it.
I think it's very similar to like the acting world or the music industry, where there's something really beautiful about it, about fashion, about designers, about lyrics, about production, about acting and getting really into the, like the Meisner technique, right? There's a beauty to fashion, and I completely respect it. Having been modeling in Milan and seen how like Milan Fashion Week is one of the, like, the most important weeks of fashion, and it's where it was like founded, and I can understand why some outfits look better if a girl is topless. Mm-hmm. I understand, and I totally am on board with things not being over sexualized, but I am also Christian, and it is also not my only occupation. I'm professional, so I am, and I've been more conservative for my entire career in modeling. My mother agent knows this, and Peggy could attest to that. I wouldn't shoot bikinis, bathing suits, no underwears, no lingerie. I would book a lot, and I have booked a lot of lingerie shoots, and I've had to remind my agents, I don't shoot these. I'm not going to be doing this. I don't do nude shoots. I don't do implied nude, which is like, you can't see it, but like, oh, you're back and you're not wearing a shirt. I'm not doing that. I don't do transparents. I never have. I never plan on it. Mm-hmm. So that's like it's just being aware. Like, I understand the beauty of the fashion, but I also have my limits, and I've been able to work in this industry. Yeah. And it is definitely important to have reputable agents, because you're working with 100%. Professionals, not random guys that are like, oh, let me take your photo. And, oh, you need to take your pants off. No, sorry. No, I don't. Like, I've been really blessed to have a really great and professional agent who's well-connected all around the world. So my whole career since I was 17 has been with her and with professionals. So I'm like one of the few models that haven't had like horror stories of weird photographers, because everything has gone through her. But I've definitely stayed on the conservative side. But like,
that's great. How important is modesty to becoming Christian, or for anyone who?
I wonder. I mean, it's definitely like a debatable conversation. I think it's important. Like, I feel like I tend to be more, I don't want to say liberal on the conversation, but more progressive in this sense, because I think, yes, we have to understand that men have weaknesses, but also men have weaknesses that God will give them strength to overcome. So this is like a lot of a conversation.
In the Bible, like, God is very clear about women have to dress modest. You know, it's like, I also want the women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, adorning themselves, not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls, expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess worship to God. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, if you're
Timothy 2,
if you're trying to get a guy based on how you look, you're going to get a guy that likes how you look. If I am trying to get a guy that appreciates my intelligence first and my humor or something, like, you have to, that's definitely something to pay attention to.
I just think, like, when girls dress provocatively, I think that's the most unattractive thing. They're showing off their bodies. It's such a huge turnoff to me.
It's definitely,
I cannot,
like,
be with someone who does that.
I don't want to say, like, that it's easy to say that, like, now. Like, I don't know. It's a weird conversation, I think, because I get more, I'm not saying people should be dressed super slutty or something. I'm not really saying anything, but I think it's very easy for men to have opinions on things that they're not really, not like involved with, but like, a man has never been a woman and doesn't understand what it means to be a woman. So of course it's easy to be like, you shouldn't do that, right? But then immediately we're like, pointing fingers and stuff. I think it's just important for people to focus on their weaknesses and their relationship with Christ. I feel like there's better things to focus on than like pointing out what people shouldn't be doing, because that's where that like hypocritical and judgmental character kind of comes out that people don't like about Christians. Because of course we could sit and point and tell everybody what they're doing wrong, because there are a million
things. So it's wrong for me to judge a woman if they're showing like they're like half naked
in their entire Instagram feed? I think there's just better conversations. I think there's better things to focus on. There's definitely like levels of modesty, and people in the Middle East would think girls in Canada
I definitely agree, like
completely terrible.
There are other conversation, but it is like a conversation.
It is a conversation.
It's still a topic. Like if I had a daughter, I definitely don't want her showing off her body to like thousands of people online. So I don't know.
That
just comes down to like, you know, what God wants, and like
I think part of it goes with where people feel guilty. Like some people,
and like honestly, like it's gross to
explain
me.
It
like Gloria, it's gross to me to see like girls just showing off their body like that. It's like I don't want to see it.
But like I don't know how to explain this. Now it is. Now, like, having known Christ and maybe seeing it differently 2-3 years ago, it's a different ball game, because you and a bunch of people, most people, are playing in that game.
I don't want to sin, because you know, when it comes to lust, it's like as soon as you lustfully look at a woman, that is adultery.
Yeah.
And when every single chick's like posting themselves half naked with their ass out and everything, I'm just like, yo.
There's definitely intention, I think, is very important.
It's so wrong.
It's like to wear something that we wear in Canada and then bring it to like the Middle East, that's going to be a huge contrast, right? Whereas if you're wearing normal street clothes, which maybe to some people think is crazy, and you wear it in the club, it's like, why are you wearing so much clothes in the club? Like, why are you being so modest? I think what's really important is to know, like, personally with what people's limits are or something. Like, if, like, I don't know if I'm trying to show off my body, and then I'll have to think, okay, I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like, no, I really don't think that this is inappropriate, but you know, okay, yeah, but it still is, and you should cover up.
Yeah,
but
well, you know when a girl's trying to show off her body online, right?
Yeah, and that's, I guess, this is what happens with modeling. A lot of
them just look cheap, you know? And it's not.
Yeah, they it looks like the validation is. Yeah,
it's not. Coming from the wrong seeing place. From a Christ Jesus point of view, it's like, would God want you to dress this way?
If we followed everything that the Bible said, like, nobody should be piercing their ears, they shouldn't be. I forget, there's eating certain meats. Ears? Yeah, it says get tattoos, pierce ears.
That's a lot of Old Testament. That's Old Testament stuff. That's, you know, that's like Torah Old Testament stuff. Like we go by like New Testament now. You know, Jesus changed a lot of the Old Testament stuff when he came back.
He did.
Like he you know, all foods are clean. What defiles a person is not what he puts in his mouth, it's what comes out of his mouth. So he changed a lot of things. That's one of the things he changed. When it comes to tattoos as well, I believe, I could be wrong, but I think the only people that were getting tattoos at the time were pagans, people that worship pagan gods, and they were getting tattoos to worship these other gods. And that's why, okay, don't mark yourselves. Oh, they were cutting themselves. So it's, I don't know, like all my tattoos are very Jesus tattoos. Like, got the cross, got the birds, got Angel Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel.
Yeah.
I have a fish. I don't know. It's just like random stuff. Yeah, but they're mostly pretty wholesome. You know, birds and stuff.
Yeah, it is Old Testament. That's in Leviticus.
I think all comes down to someone's like character.
Yeah, I think there's a discussion with it being like a line for everybody, but I think that line, as the world gets more and more progressive, that line of like what's a boundary gets push further and further. Now you can literally scroll and see a bunch of people half naked, or you know, celebrities at the Met Gala and their outfits are like see-through and stuff.
It's just like, I would never date a girl like that. And I don't think any like good Christian would want to either, deep in their hearts. Like, they just don't want to, like,
yeah.
When I talk to a girl, I don't want to think about you as, like, that kind of girl.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be comfortable.
That's definitely one of the ways Christ changes you. So your question is dressing modest as a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Because, like, before, like, anyone that's not Christian, of course, like, they're in a different ball game. It's the...
No, 100%. I didn't think this way. I thought it was, like, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Naked, whatever. Like, it just, like, feeds into my burning lust, like...
And then once you're a Christian, you're realizing, oh, it's not like outer appearance does not matter even close, nowhere near to as much as somebody on the inside and how they think and how they believe what 100%. They believe.
You can be the most attractive girl. Like, I would not be, like, impressed unless, you know.
Like, you have to like who they are. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, a lot of that comes from being Christian. Like, I know what I want. I want to be able to sit with someone and love their character. Mm-hmm. And once you get to know someone more, they become more attractive to you. Like, 100%. I don't care their skin color, their height, if they work out or not. I don't care. Like, it really doesn't matter. There's been no similarities in the people I've dated. They'll look like wildly different. And it just doesn't matter. Appearance doesn't matter. For me, it does. Oh, it matters.
Maybe I think 10%,
with most people it does.
Like, I'd say, like, they have to, if I were to, like, go for a girl, they have to meet my base standards of attractiveness, looks-wise, but that's, like, only 10%, and then 90% they have to make up for. Are you, like,
right.
Would you make a good wife? Are you, you know, do you have the same faith as me?
Right.
All these personality traits, like, I have a list.
Right.
And maybe, like, 4 or 5 things would be, like, physical traits. And then, like, 100 things when it comes to, like, her personality. So that's kind of, like, how I base. Because I have to be attracted to them. I can't just, like, pick someone I'm, like, not attracted to.
I don't know. I feel like I dated somebody, not for very long, that I wasn't attracted to. And that's definitely not why we broke up.
Yeah.
I wasn't. Like, you're going to fall in love with them and start to see them differently. 100%. Like, I don't know.
I mean, you're also a girl. Like, girls, you care more about, like, personality, and guys were kind of, like, visual creatures.
Well, there's definitely girls that have types. Like, everyone has a type. Like, that's...
I do have a type.
Like, they have most to look people a do. Way. Like,
Bobby knows
it's
that.
It's fine. It's definitely
like,
a thing.
All my exes just, like... kind of look alike.
Mine, like, just like, oh, so different, everything.
Yeah,
race, height, body type,
to the scale, age. Like, weight wise like, they never go past like 100 to 110. Is it
yeah, it's the same. Yeah.
Yes.
No, most people have a type. Like, I don't think that's it's not a bad thing. It's just a preference. I think you're just kind of like born with that. It's like, fine. No, I think I'm kind of like the oddball where I really don't care.
I don't care.
I think anyone, like, can go from a 5 to an 8 very quickly if they groom themselves. Mm. If they get a nice haircut, if they, you know, dress kind of nice. I know I don't like when people, like, I will not wear sweatpants out of the house. That's not something I'll do. I feel, like, really gross. That's like a personal thing. So I like when people try and dress nice and go in public looking nice. I like when they get a haircut. They're looking good. They feel confident. But like what they look like initially, I don't really care. But when somebody takes care of themselves, that makes anyone so much more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make a regular 100%. Person who doesn't even work out look attractive because they got a haircut and they're feeling it.
Especially for guys, yeah. If you're a guy, you just take care of yourself. Clean.
Like, if you're letting, like, some patchy beard grow in, I'm like,
yeah,
love yourself enough to, like, take care of
your body,
and present.
Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, so.
Like,
you know, it says a lot about who you are if you don't take care of yourself.
Get rid of the patchy beard. Get rid of the mustache. Yeah, I think I don't have a type, but I know what's not my type, and I hate mustaches.
Hair?
No, like, if you can get a nice beard, go crazy.
Yeah.
But I hate just a mustache.
Oh, yeah, that's
I don't
weird.
Know. I don't think I've ever seen somebody pull it off.
They got the...
Just a mustache. It's not the vibe.
Yeah.
Those are like anti-types, though. That's a, what is that, an ick, people call it? Oh, mm-hmm. My word.
Yeah. I would like to meet more Christian girls, though. I feel like there's not a lot that I'm meeting.
Church is a good place.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to start coming to church. Not for that reason, but... Like,
it's a good place to find a wife.
Yeah, 100%. I always tell guys, man, like...
Actually, I think it's a good place to meet a bunch of girls that already have boyfriends.
Honestly, yeah. No, the,
it's a good place to make friends. The good
girls are already wiped up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. So the sooner you go to church, the better chances you have at scooping one up.
Yeah, because they're not, like, messing around. If you meet someone who's, like, around my age and they're, like, single, something's wrong with you.
For that church, then they haven't found somebody yet.
Exactly, like... There has to be an issue. It's
definitely a better place to look than the club.
Oh, yeah. Clubs never look for a girlfriend. How you meet her is how you lose her.
We met at a coffee shop, so I don't know.
Oh, wait, no, where was it? Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, like a rooftop like bar. Talking to you? Yeah. Yeah, very smooth.
Nice.
Athens is a romantic city.
No, I prefer meeting like girls like organically.
That's organic.
Just like randomly. Like,
what? Oh, like randomly. Not through like Instagram.
Just nothing planned. Like no online dates or like not even Instagram.
I just think like once you meet somebody that blows you out of the water, you're like, I don't care about anything I used to care about.
You guys click right away?
We did. Yeah, because we both had like mindset in common. Like just wanting to work hard. And he quoted from the book Relentless, which is a book about Kobe. And his mindset, and about cleaners and closers. And I quoted the book back to him, and he's like, "You know that book?" I was like, "You know that book?" And we're both like, "That's a book about mindset."
What was the quote?
He mentioned something about being a cleaner. And I was like, "Yeah, that's definitely a goal, like to be a cleaner." Because the book describes people as either closers, cleaners, and closers. Closers, cleaners, coolers. So you don't want to be a cooler. Like, yeah, you have to, like, read the book to know what that
is
means.
Is it by, like, a coach?
I forget who writes the book, but it's, I think I've it just read divides it. It's just people about, like, coolers or, like, whatever people. They're, I would be a cleaner. No, I would be a closer. And then the cleaners are Kobe's. Like, they're, like, the 1%. Crazy. And, like, I just remember him saying something about being a closer. I was like,
I stopped reading personal development books. Oh. Just been slowly just the Bible. Yeah. I've read over 300 personal development books. And you know what I've realized? I always tell these people. All the self-development principles that you learn from all these books, they're all in the Bible.
Mm.
They're all talked about.
That's interesting.
God already gave us hints. And I feel like these individual personal development books, they're just expansions on God's word.
Yeah, you
God's
might as well
word.
Go to the root of the...
Yeah.
The source.
Yeah, for example, even like law of attraction. It's like ask and you shall receive. Jesus literally taught that.
Jesus said that. Yeah. That was the verse of the day yesterday.
Yeah. Knock and the door will be open to you. So,
seek and you shall find. Ask. Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. There's
I've heard things about like people not liking the idea of these mindset books. Relentless was like one of the only ones I read. And it definitely gave me some perspective, but you're right. Christ gives me my strength. Focusing on the Bible, man,
you know, honestly,
that's
like,
just key.
Throughout all the self-development books you have, all you need is the Bible.
Yeah.
Everything
the Bible.
You need. Any problem that you have,
the Bible
will have
solves.
An answer.
Look up Bible verses for depression, for heartbreak, for stress, for anxiety.
Yeah,
exactly. There's answers.
It has everything.
For self-doubt, for...
Yeah. It has everything.
For loss, for...
It's the ultimate personal development book. It's the first book that's ever created, I think. I think it's the first book, yeah. Yeah, it's the first book ever created. Came way before, like, Shakespeare and stuff.
Yeah, with a bunch of little books put together. I don't know. Yeah, it might be. Yeah. I know, like, songs were written.
Yeah, Psalms and Proverbs.
Proverbs is a really good book to read. Just a bunch of, like, good life advice. I really like that one.
What's your favorite Bible verse?
It's in Proverbs 16, verse 24. Sweet words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. It's just, I don't know, I heard it as a kid and it just like always stuck with me. But it's also tied with James. The whole book of James is amazing to read Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Like, that's
a good one, yeah.
Consider it joy when your life goes to crap. What do you mean? Like, my dad died, I just broke off my engagement. What do you mean? Consider this joy. Because it's going to make me persevere. And persevere builds character. And let that finish. And I'm going to be so much stronger than I was. Game changer. Yeah. And now I'm not just going through life being like, this man hurt me and now all men are problems and I'm going to be ice cold to everyone. Whoa, wait, now we just changed the game. I'm going to be stronger. Thank you, God, for giving me this heartbreak. Changes everything. Consider it pure joy. Pure joy. That's crazy.
No, 100%.
James 1. So
it's like
good.
The Lord takes, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, it's like a lot of these trials are blessings. God allows us to have trials to
and
strengthen
gives us
our faith.
Strength to get through them.
For strength. Yes. So that we're better equipped when God uses us.
God is good. Yeah.
Thanks be to God. Thank you guys for watching the Christ Pulled Podcast, episode 6. And you guys can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and social media. My social media, my Instagram is @RealMateusGabriel and @ChristPillPod. And you can also check us out on TikTok, @ChristPillPodcast. You want to plug yours in?
I'm Gloria Glow. That's my username for everything. Yeah.
And check her out on Spotify as well.
Yeah, Glory Glow on Spotify.
So yeah, I'll see you guys on the next episode.